Shear tonight is on Megillus Rus, and it's the Shear is titled The History of Elimelech and Boaz. So tonight we're going to look at the beginning of Rus, because Shavuos is coming, as we all know. And we're going to look at an interesting Gemara and Midrashim quoted by Rashi as to the history of Elimelech and the flaw that led to his death, and also an interesting Gemara on Boaz that we probably haven't learned before or haven't seen before. So if we look in source number one, it's Rus Perek Aleph. Read through the first five psukim, and then we'll look at Rashi. So the source number one starts as follows. Vayihi b'mei shfod ha-shoftem, vayihi ra'av ba'aretz, vayelech ish mi-beis lachem Yehudah, la'gor b'stei mo'av, huv ishto shnei vanav. So in the time that the judges, the shoftim, were ruling, there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and a man from Beis Lachem Yehudah, from that area in Yehudah, he left Eretz Yisrael, and he went to go live in Moab with his wife and his two sons. V'shem ha'ish Elimelech, v'shem ishto Naomi, v'shem shnei vanav, machlon v'chlyon efrasim, mi-beis lachem yudo, v'yavo v'stem v'av v'yusham. And then Rus records their names. He says the name of the man that left was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and he had two sons, Machlon and Kilion. And they all left to live in Moab, because there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael. We're in source number one, Pasuk Gimel. It says, V'yamos Elimelech ish Naomi, v'tisha'er hi u'shnei vaneha. What ends up happening, as we all know, is that Elimelech dies, and Naomi is left with her two sons. And in Pasuk Dalet says, V'yisu lehem nashim moaviyos, v'shem ha'achas orpa, v'shem ha'shenes rus, v'yishvu sham ke'eser shanim. So Naomi lived with her sons and their wives, Rus and Orpah, for 10 years in Moab. Vayamusu gam shneihem, machlon v'chlayon, v'tisha'er ha'isha mishnei yeladeh u'meisha. And the two sons died, Machlon and Kilion, and she's left with her two daughters-in-law, and then we go into the whole story of Rus and Orpah. So the beginning of Rus is setting up some background information for the story, for the essential story, and it teaches us about this individual named Elimelech and his two sons, Machlon and Kilion, and how they left Eretz Yisrael because there was a famine, and then it cryptically, it doesn't really openly teach us why, but it says that they died, that Elimelech died, and then Machlon Mechilion died, and Naomi was left with her two daughters-in-law. So the source, the idea of the Shear, the focus of the Shear is going to be on this, on the history that Rus isn't really telling us about Elimelech, and what we can learn from Rashi, the Mefarshim, and the Gemara. So we'll look at three different approaches to what the flaw of Elimelech was, and what caused him to die. So if you look in source number two, the first approach is Rashi, and it's based on the Medrash. And we're going to define each approach as we go through it. So Rashi in source number two says as follows: Pasuk Aleph, Vayihi b'mei shfod ha-shoftim, lefnei melech melech Shaul. This is before Shaul was the king. Shayu adoros misparnasim al idei shoftim. So this was the time of shoftim, of the shoftim. Uvimei ivtzon haya sh'amar rabbeinu ivtzon zeh Boaz. It was the time of the shofet ivtzon, and ivtzon was actually Boaz. It was another name for Boaz, and we'll see later on in the shir. At the end of the shir, we'll go into this idea that ivtzon was Boaz and what the relevance of that is. But the history of Rus, according to Rashi, and the history is that it occurred in this time period, in the time period of Ivtzon, which is mentioned in Shoftim, and that's the background, and it was before Shaul. Vayelech Ish, next Rashi, Asher Gadol Haya Uparnas Hador, he was very wealthy, and he supported the community. V'yatzam Eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz M'pnei Tzaras Ha'ayin. So he left Eretz Yisrael because of the fact that he was stingy. Shehaisa Eino Tzara, so he didn't want to give out money. He was really annoyed by the people coming to his doorstep and asking him for money. And that's why he was punished ultimately when he left Eretz Yisrael, because he couldn't take the people coming to his door and asking him for money. And he was very stingy. He didn't like to give out money. So he was killed for that reason. So it's a funny thing. The question is, what's this idea that a person's chayav misa for being stingy? I mean, it's a very common trait for a person to be stingy, but why was it so bad here in this situation that it caused his own demise? According to Rashi, based on the Medrash, it caused his own destruction, and he was killed from Hashem as Hashkacha because of his stinginess. And he was really the leader of the generation, the Parnas Hador. He was really the leader of the generation, one of the leaders of the generation. So what was so bad about this flaw, the stinginess flaw? Was it just the regular stinginess, or was there something more? So the source for Rashi is not really the Gemara, it's really a Medrash. It's source number three, Medrash Zuta of Rus, and it says as follows, Vayelech ish mi-beis lachem Yehudah, mi garam lo galus, what caused him to be exiled Ayin Ra, Shahayabo, he had a bad eye. I think this is really the stinginess that the Tsaris Ayin. Shekach Omar, Lamachar Aniyam Miskansin. He says that the next tomorrow, the Aniyam are going to come to me. Ve'eni Yachol Lagor Beneyam. I can't live amongst the Aniyam. He just couldn't tolerate. He was very wealthy, and he couldn't tolerate living amongst them, and he knew that they were going to come to him in the time of famine. Havi She'ayin Ra, Shahayabo, Garma Galuslo, Liyatu Chutzlaritz. And this type of Ayin Ra, the Mishnah says, which Rashi, I think, interprets as Tzaras Ayin, the stinginess, is what caused him to leave Eretz Yisrael and to go to Chutz La'aretz, and ultimately, it was responsible for his demise. So what exactly is this flaw that Elimelech is, this story of Elimelech, which isn't recorded in Rus itself, but the Midrashim and Rashi quote, so what exactly was the flaw of Elimelech? Why was it so bad that it caused his own demise? So the first possibility of the shir, we're just going to go through each different possibilities and try to define them. So the basic question is what I just mentioned, which is what was so bad about this flaw, and what does the Medrash kind of add to Rashi to teach us why Elimelech was killed and his sons were killed? So what is the flaw of stinginess in general? So sometimes the flaw of stinginess is that a person is too attached to their money, and there's a security. I think a common flaw of stinginess is that people get security from money and they're scared to, you know, to give it up to other people. And there's a fear there. But then there's another type of stinginess. And there's a stinginess, I think, that emerges from the usher, from a wealthy person feeling like the ani deserves what he got. A lot of times an usher, what ends up happening with your ashirus in many situations with wealth, is that people forget about the fact that wealth is transient, and wealth is not really indicative of you as a person and your goodness as a person. But a lot of times people view wealth as a sign that they deserve it and that they're worthy of being wealthy. And stinginess could be a response to a certain need for security and money, an improper attachment to money. But I think in this situation, it reflects the idea that Elimelech and his children, they felt like their wealth was really deserved, and that the Ani is really undeserving of this wealth. The Ani is deserving of being poor, and the Asher, like himself and his kids, they were deserving of their status as being wealthy individuals. And what ends up happening in that situation is that there's a breakdown of identification with the Ani. And the idea, the concept of moving away from a scenario or a situation where there are other poor people is a desire on the part of a person to break their identification with the poor, to break their identification with the poor people. So perhaps somebody's mute button isn't on, by the way. So if everybody can put their mute buttons on, unless you have a question, which is fine, just it would be much better. There's a little bit of static in the background. All right. So back to the point here. So Rashi, I think, is saying, based on the Medrash, is that the flaw of Elimelech was this flaw. It was the flaw that when a wealthy person maintains or believes that he deserves his wealth, and therefore it's part of him, it's who he is, and the Ani deserves what he got, his lot. So that leads to a further breakdown of identification from the wealthy to the poor. And the idea was that Elimelech wasn't capable of identifying with the poor. He couldn't see himself as a poor person, and he needed to remove himself from that situation. He couldn't tolerate seeing himself as a poor person, so he escaped, and he went to a situation where he wouldn't be hounded by the poor people. But what's the problem? Why did he deserve Misa? Because the idea is that he was one of the leaders. He was the Parnes Ador, and for a leader to break his identification with people, with the Am, and the Am, there's a famine in the land of Eretz Yisrael. For a leader to break his identification is a grave of error. It's a grave sin. It's one that's deserving of Misa, because the leader's primary job is to identify with the people that they serve, that they lead, and to help them. But when a leader breaks his identification, and once the leader no longer feels or sees himself in the group, so then that's a grave avera. Then they're no longer serving the people, and they can no longer serve in the capacity as a leader. So the first idea Rashi's teaching us is an idea in the dangers of wealth, really. It's an idea that Elimelech, although at one point he was the Parnes Ador and he was one of the leaders of the generation, but he decided his wealth turned him into a person who needed to break his identification with the poor. He believed that his wealth was really indicative of who he was, that he deserved it. And the poor person deserves his own lot. And therefore, what he did when he moved to out of Eretz Yisrael was really a breakdown of his identification. So it wasn't just the leaving, but it was the breaking his identification with the poor. That was the problem. And that's why he and his children, sounds like Machlon and Chilion, had the same flaw. That's why they were killed. So that's Rashi's approach. But Rashi's approach is different from the Gemara and the Rambam. So we're going to look at the second approach in the Shir, which is the Gemara and the Rambam. And it starts as follows in source number 4. So the Gemara is Bava Basra Daf Tzadi Aleph Amid Aleph, and it says as follows: Tan Rabbanon, Ein Yotzin Me'aretz. Sorry, L'Chutzal Aretz. So there's an Isra, there's an Avera to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutzal Aretz. El Im Kain Amdu Sasayim Besala. The only time you're allowed to leave, the Gemara says, is when two seas of flour are worth a sela, which is double the price. So when the price of flour goes up tremendously, and it's really impossible to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's when you're allowed to leave. So, Amar of Shimon, Emasai, when, Bizman She'eno Motza Likach, that's if you're poor and you can't buy the sasayim, you can't buy the flour. Aval Bizman She'motza Likach, but if you have the money, you should stay in Eretz Yisrael and just spend the extra money. Afil Amda Seya Besela, even if one Seya of flour is equal to a Sela, which is a huge amount, you should still stay if you're wealthy. Lo Yetze, you shouldn't leave. V'chena Yerav Shem ben Yochai Omer. So Rav Shem bar Yochai said, Eli Melech Machlon V'chilion Gedolei Hador Hayu. They were the Gedolei Hador, Uparnasei Hador Hayu, and they were supporting the people. U'bepnei Ma Nanshu. So why were they punished? U'bepnei Shiyatsu Ma'aretz L'chutzal Aretz. Because they left Eretz Yisrael to Chutzal Aretz. Shana, whoever's mute button isn't off, can you please turn the mute button on your phone? Because there's background noise. Thank you. Okay, Mipnei Sheyatsu Ma'aretz L'chutz La'aretz. Shenemar, Vatehom Kol Ha'ir Alehen, Vatomarna Hazos Naomi. So later on, what ends up happening is that when Naomi returns to Eretz Yisrael, they say there's a big stir in the city, and they say, is this Naomi? My Hazos Naomi? So what does this mean? Amar Vitzchak, Amru Chazisem Naomi, Sheyatsos Ma'aretz L'chutz La'aretz, Ma'asala. Look what happened to Naomi. She left Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, to go to Moab, and look what happened to her. So the Gemara over here presents a different idea as to what the flaw of Elimelech was. The first point that we had in Rashi was that the flaw was tied to the way that Elimelech related to his wealth and how it caused him to break his identification with the people that he was leading and that he was serving. But the Gemara says something different. The Gemara says that the flaw of Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion was that they left Eretz Yisrael and they didn't have a justification or a right to leave Eretz Yisrael. And the Rashbam in source number 5 says, Ein Yotzin Shemafkia Atzmo Min HaMitzvos. So the reason why it's a problem is because there's extra mitzvos in Eretz Yisrael. And when you leave Eretz Yisrael, you're creating a situation where you have fewer mitzvos. And that's why there's an Isra leave, unless you can't live there anymore. Unless there's so much of famine that you can't live there. So what's the question is, the Gemara is saying different approach in Rashi and saying that the flaw, the essential flaw of Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion was abandoning Eretz Yisrael. So what exactly is the nature of this flaw? Why is it so bad that they deserve Misa? What's the nature of this? So you miss out on certain mitzvos. We all live in Chutz Aretz. We live in America. At least I live in America. So the question is, are we really Chayv Misa like Elimelech? So what exactly was the flaw that Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion were demonstrating by leaving Eretz Yisrael? And there's a further Gemara later on in this Gemara, in source number 6, which adds some more problems, adds some more questions. And it says, Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava Amar Rav, Elimelech v'Salmon u'Ploni Amoni v'Avi Naomi Kulan b'nei Nachshon ben Amina Davin. So the Gemara says that Elimelech, Salmon, who is the father of Boaz, Ploni Amoni and Avi Naomi, the father of Naomi, they were all the children, the descendants of Nachshon ben Amina Dav, who is the Nasi of Yehuda. My Kamashmolan, what's the Chiddush? The Gemara says, who cares? Shafilu Mishi Yeshlo Zechus Avos, even a person who has Zechus Avos, who has the merit of having great parents, great fathers, Eino Omedeslo Bishash Yotzem Aretz L'Chutz Aretz. It doesn't really help them when you leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Aretz. So what is this adding? What is this Gemara adding? That if a person has Zechus Avos, even so, it won't help them in this situation. Because you see from Elimelech and Machlon V'Chilion, and even Naomi, who has lost her husband and her two children, her two sons. So it's saying that the fact that they are descendants of Nachshon didn't help them, and Yehuda didn't help them. But who cares? Why would you think that would help you in a situation where you're leaving Eretz Yisrael? So this two questions now. Why is leaving Eretz Yisrael so bad that Elimelech and his children were killed? And furthermore, what does the Chos Avos have anything to do with it? The idea that they were children, descendants of Nachshon and Aminadav, you know, why does that matter? Why is that a chiddush in the Gemara that it doesn't help them in a situation? And why doesn't it help? If it works in general, why wouldn't it work here? And the Rashbam, look in source number 7, just factually, he explains who these people are. Salmon is Avi Boaz, Kedichsiv is Salmon, Holdeh is Boaz. So Salmon was a descendant of Nachshon. Ploni Almoni, Mashmalei Shema Goa, Kedichsiv, Suar Shva, Ploni Almoni, he was the Redeemer. B'nei Nachshon, Kedichsiv, Nachshon, Holdeh is Salmon, with Salmon, Holdeh. Right, so they were all the children of Nachshon, the Nasi of Yehuda. Zechus Avos, Elimelech ben Nachshon, Chaya Nasi v'chassid. Elimelech was the descendant of Nachshon, who was this great individual, and nevertheless, he was still killed because of the fact that he left Eretz Yisrael and he went to Chutz Laaretz. But what's the big deal? What's the big deal about leaving Eretz Yisrael, going to Chutz Laaretz? And furthermore, why would you think that Zechus Avos would help you in that situation? So that's a question. So the Rambam actually argues with Rashi, and he agrees with this approach of the Gemara, and he actually mentions it in the Yad HaChazakah, which is weird for the Rambam, but he mentions the history a little bit. And it's in Hilchos Malachim. Look in source number 8. The Rambam is Hilchos Malachim, Perek Hei Alacha Tes. He says, Aser Lotzeis Me'eretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz La'olam. Person's never allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. El Lilmo Torah Olisa Isha Olahatzel Min'akom V'yachzul La'aretz. You can leave temporarily to learn Torah, to get married, or to run away from being persecuted. But then you have to go back. You can also go leave Eretz Yisrael for business. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and permanently dwell outside of Eretz Yisrael unless there is a great famine. So to the point where the chitin, where wheat is, the value is the shnei dinarin, which is double, you know, a lot of its price goes up tremendously. When is this the case? When moos are metsuyos, when there's money and the pears are very expensive. About ima pears bizol, but if the pears are cheap, v'lo yimatze maos v'lo b'ma yistakir v'avda pruta minakis, if you have no money and you can't afford anything, even if the fruits are cheap, yatza l'chol makom shimtza bo revach. You can go to any place where you can benefit from. V'afo pisha mutter latzis ina midas chasidus. Even though it's mutter to leave in a case where you can't afford to or you can't make a living, Sharei Machlon, it's still Midas Chasidus to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Why? Sharei Machlon v'chilyon, shnei gedolei ador hayu, v'nei tzar gedolei yatu, minischai v'kli alamakom. You see from Machlon v'chilyon that they were the gedolei ador, and because of a great famine in Eretz Yisrael, they left, but nevertheless, they were chayv misa. So this begs the question even more so. The Rambam is saying it's a Midas Chasidus to stay in Eretz Yisrael in the situation of Machlon and v'chilyon, and nevertheless, they were killed. So why were they killed? What's so bad about leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, even in a situation of famine, as they did? Why were they killed? Why were they chayv kliya? So the Rambam in source number 9 in Halacha Yud Beis, so a little bit later on, we just read Halacha Tes, but in Halacha Yud Beis he explains a little bit the philosophy of living in Eretz Yisrael and not leaving Eretz Yisrael. So in Halacha Yud Beis he says, La'olam yidor adam be'Eretz Yisrael. Person should always live in Eretz Yisrael. Afilo bi'ir sheruba akum. Even in an environment, in a city, which is mostly non-Jewish, val yidor b'chutz la'aretz, you shouldn't live outside of Eretz Yisrael, v'afilu bi'ir sheruba Yisrael. Even in a city that is majority Yisrael. Why? Shekol ha'yotze l'chutz la'aretz, ki'ilo oved avodah zarah. Anybody who leaves to go Eretz Yisrael to go to chutz la'aretz is if they worship idols. Sh'ne'amar, as it says, ki gershuni ha'yom mistapeach b'nachlas Hashem, lemor leich avod elohim achirim. So it's saying that when they're removed from Eretz Yisrael and they're removed from the land to go and worship other gods, but by bad things it says that they shouldn't go, they can't go to Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam says at the very end, interestingly enough, that just like there's an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, there's also an Isser to leave Bavel to go to other lands. Shenemar Bavel Yivu V'Shama Yiyu. Says that the Jews will be brought to Bavel, and that's where they'll be. So the Rambam explains the philosophy. After, in Halacha Tes, he says that there's an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz and dwell there permanently, and he brings down Machlon and Chilion, which is funny that he doesn't mention Elimelech. But then in Yud Beis, he gives the philosophy, and he says that a person should always prefer to live in Eretz Yisrael than Chutz La'aretz. And he says that going to Chutz La'aretz is like worshipping idols. But then at the very end, he says, interesting, that there's an Isser to leave Bavel. There wasn't, not now, obviously, but in the time where Bavel was the center, so there was an Isser to leave Bavel, just like there was an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael. So what is the philosophy here, according to the Rambam? The Rambam is holding like the Gemara, who says that the flaw of Elimelech and Machan and Mechilion was leaving Eretz Yisrael, because he brings it down in his halacha as such, different than Rashi. And he brings down later on that there's an Isser to leave Eretz Yisrael, and there's so too there's an Isser to leave Bavel. So what exactly is the philosophy? So the Meiri explains, in source number 10, the Meiri explains the philosophy of why it's so bad to leave Eretz Yisrael, and then we can answer the questions, what about this Chos Avos idea, and what about the, so why was it so bad in this situation? So if you look in the Meiri, it's on Ksubo stuff, Kuf Yud Aleph Amad Aleph, he says as follows, the Olam Yidor Adam Be'Eretz Yisrael, Afilu Be'ir Sheruba Goyim, Velo Yidor B'Chutz La'aretz, Af Be'ir Sherova Yisrael, She'Chutz La'aretz Diras Kevel Goyim, Ulo Ovdei Ha'ililim. So he says it's always better to live in Eretz Yisrael, even in a city which is rov non-Jews, than to live outside of Eretz Yisrael in a city which is rov Jews. Why? Because outside of Eretz Yisrael is a permanent dwelling place for Goyim and for Ovdei Elilim. Ve'iyav shar shelo lilmod midarcheim. So it's impossible to not learn from their culture and from their philosophy. Derech tzachlos amru. So in a, I think he means in a joking way, there's a case where it says, Be'echad she be'Eretz Yisrael, Shenafla lo yevimto bechutz la'aretz. So this man, he was in Eretz Yisrael, and his brother died, and his brother lived in chutz la'aretz. So there's a chiyav of yibum outside of Eretz Yisrael. Vishal le'echad min chachamim mahu leireid l'kayim mitzvas yibum. So he asked, this individual asked one of the chachamim, should he leave Eretz Yisrael to go be mekayim mitzvas yibum? Amar lo, the chacham said back to him, Achiv nasa goya, your brother married a guy. Baruch HaMakom Shehargu, it's good that he died. V'achshav Yard Achiv Acharov, and now you're going to go after him. So, meaning it's pretty. He's blasting. This chacham was blasting the idea of his brother being in Chutz La'aretz. U'kashem she'aser lates me'Eretz Yisrael l'Chutz La'aretz, kach aser lates mi'bavel l'shar ratzos. And just like there's an iser to leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz La'aretz, so too there's an iser to leave Bavel to go to other aratzos. Shekol makom shechachma v'yiraschet mitzuyin sham dino k'Eretz Yisrael. Anytime there's a society which is based on Torah ideals, so it's usher to leave. Ukamosh Amru kol adar beBavel kiilu dar beEretz Yisrael. It says that anybody who lived in Bavel when Bavel was successful, it was like living in Eretz Yisrael. Shekol Mash Amru lo Amru el b'nei shestam chutz la'aretz ein chachma v'yiraschet mitzuyin ba. Most places outside of Bavel were places where secular and attached to idolatry, and people, the Jews, would learn from that culture. Except for Bavel was different. He says, "V'yiraschem mitzuyim b'al Yisrael." The rov atzaros v'ol agaliyos shesovim sham elim kena ide amel gadol v'tzar gilgal saval atzaros v'yishayish mehem lavodus Hashem l'sridim asher Hashem kore. So he's saying that when the Jews were exiled into all these places, they're, luckily they were able to sustain their Judaism, but it was their bad. There are places which affect them. Ustam Eretz Yisrael chachma v'yiraschem mitzuyim ba. And most of the time in Eretz Yisrael, there's a greater potential for a society that's based on Torah ideals of Yiras Chet, Ad Shem Mitochel Masigim Kavod Boram Bezochem Lihanos Mizivashchina, which will lead a person to respecting his Creator and deriving pleasure from the Zivashchina. Valzu Amru Afil Shivchash Be'Eretz Yisrael Muvteches Lashi Basa Olam Abba Val Derech Mashiyayin Anavi Be'Amru VeGam Alvadim Bashvachos Eshbelch Ruchi. Even the Shivcha, the maidservant in Eretz Yisrael, is Basa Olam Abba, is deserving of Olam Haba because of the society. Because of the society there. So what is the Meiri saying? The Meiri sounds like he's saying, I think he's saying pretty openly, that the problem with leaving Chutz La'aretz to go to, the problem with leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz and the problem with leaving Bavel to go to Shaar Ratzos is the same problem, which is that we have to recognize the power of the society and the culture and our environment in terms of affecting our ability to remain committed to religiosity, to Judaism, and to God. And we can't underestimate the power of society and culture on that. And the Isser of leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz, or leaving Bavel to go to Shaar Ratzos, is underestimating the effects, the negative effects of other environments, of other societies, on our ability to relate to God properly. In fact, the Meiri ties it to the idea of relating to the Ziv Ashrina and to getting benefit and respecting our Creator. Meaning that a person who's willing to leave Eretz Yisrael or leave Bavel is really underestimating the damage, the potential danger of being in a culture and a society that's really connected our idea of God and connected our idea of Yiras Chet and our idea of Torah. So why is that? So let's go back to the Gemara. So the Gemara says that the flaw of Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion was such that when they left Eretz Yisrael, they were chayv misa. And furthermore, the Gemara says not even Schus Avos would help them. What does that mean? It means that Schus Avos is, at times, it could be supernatural, but it could also mean that a person derives a certain ability to stay on the straight and narrow, on the idea that their forefathers were righteous. And a lot of times a person's past and the idea that my great-grandfather or great-great-grandfather was this great person, a lot of times, oftentimes, it could help a person and lead a person to stay on the right path and to continue with their Torah and their Judaism and their Hadas. And the idea over here is that Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion, despite the idea of Zechus Avos, despite the ability to fall back on the concept that their forefather was Yehuda and they can go back to the idea that they had this great past and this great history, even with that, they were still underestimating the negative effects of living in outside of Eretz Yisrael, living in a culture that wasn't dedicated to Torah and dedicated to the idea of God, the true idea of God. So the idea of the Gemara is saying that Machlon and Chilion and Elimelech, they were leaders and they were Gedolei Ador. So they were demonstrating a very dangerous concept to the people, that underestimating the effect of the environment on your religiosity, on your Torah, on your Yahadus, and underestimating it is tremendously dangerous and could lead a lot of people off the path. And furthermore, the idea of Zuchus Avos, even the concept that a person should be able to fall back on their past and say, oh, my forefather was this great individual and that should help them remain religious, remain committed to Torah, even that isn't enough. And you shouldn't underestimate the dangers and overestimate your own ability to stay committed to learning and committed to God in the proper way when you leave Eretz Yisrael and go to Chutz Laaretz. So the point of the Gemara here, this is the second idea in the Shir. The first idea was Rashi, and the second idea is the Rambam and the Gemara. And they're saying that Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion are teaching us this concept that a person has to recognize the dangers of and the benefits of living in a certain type of society and environment, and the dangers of leaving that environment and society. And you shouldn't fall back on this idea that, oh, I have other factors, other psychological factors, other environmental factors that should help me remain religious and committed to Torah. You have to understand that when you go into an environment and society like that, like Moav, it really has a tremendous effect on your ability to relate to God properly. So the idea that Machlon and Chilion were Chayav Kliya was not just because of leaving Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Laaretz, but it was also because of their stature and because they were demonstrating this idea, this flaw to the people. They were demonstrating that a person is capable or should be confident when in reality you should not overestimate your own abilities. Even if you have Zuchos Avos, you shouldn't overestimate your ability to remain committed to Torah in the same way as in the proper society. So that's the second idea. And there's one last point, one last idea here. And it's the third Gemara. Actually, it's the third Gemara, yeah. It's source number 11. It says, Amar of Chia bar Avin, Amar of Yeshua ben Karcha, Chas v'shalom, Shafilu matu subin lo yatsu. So he says, Chas v'shalom, even if they found a subin, they wouldn't have gone out. Meaning, Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion would have never left Eretz Yisrael. Even if it was very expensive to live there and there was a tremendous famine. Vela b'pnei ma nanshu, so why were they? Shehayah lohen levakish rachamim al doram v'lo bikshu. They should have asked for mercy on their generation, that the famine be removed, and they didn't do that. Shnemar bezacha yatzilucha kivutzecha. It says that with your screaming, you should be saved with the group. And the Rashbam says bezacha yatzilucha kivutzecha aydei shetizak lekabei tzanidachim tinatza. Through screaming out to gather the nidachim, those who are cast away, tinatza, you'll be saved. Meaning that the flaw, according to this last approach in the Gemara, the flaw of Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion is not that they left Eretz Yisrael, but the flaw was that they failed to be Mevakesh Rachamim for the people, for the Dor. They were the leaders, they were the Gedolei Ador, according to the Gemara, and they should have asked for Rachamim for the people, and they didn't. And one of the Mefarshim, I didn't bring it down in the source sheet, says that when a person asks for others, he usually receives a response first. I think it was the Chidush HaGadus. It says that he holds that there's an idea here that when a person asks for others, you're Nana Tchila, you're answered first. So what is the idea here? What is the concept that, what do they fail to do? So it sounds like this Gemara is saying similar to Rashi, but it's not tied to the idea of wealth, the flaw of wealth. But it sounds like Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, they had a, they lacked, or they broke their identification with the people in a philosophical sense. Meaning, it wasn't the idea that, they were wealthy that created the flaw, but simply Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion believed that they couldn't identify with the people as a whole, the Amei Aretz as a whole, because they felt philosophically like they were separate, they were on a separate level. And that's the flaw. The person who can't be Mevakish Rachman means that you can't feel like you're part of the group. And that's the idea of being Nene Tchila. Why are you Nene Tchila if you daven for a group of people? It's because the person who davens for a group of people is able to eliminate his personal ego, and he's able to see himself as part of a group. And as soon as you're able to see yourself as part of the group, you're in the right state of mind before Hashem. But the person who's incapable of seeing himself as others, as part of a group, that's the whole idea of minyan. But if you're unable to see yourself as part of a group, so you're going to have the wrong attitude before God. You're going to feel, it's a sense of egocentricity, a sense of self-worth that's really inappropriate before God, that you can't see yourself as others. You can't see yourself as part of a greater whole. And the idea is that was the flaw of Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion. And that's one of the philosophies of davening in a minyan. Why is it better to daven in a minyan? It's better to daven in a minyan because a person's ego can be put in check when you're in a group, because it forces you to see yourself as part of a group, not as a yachid, not as somebody who's above the group, but as part of the group, like everybody else. So the problem that Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, it might have been subtle, but the problem that they had was that they weren't able to see themselves as part of the group, as part of Klal Yisrael. They looked at themselves as somewhat separate, on a separate level, and as soon as they did that, a leader can't do that. A leader can't break his identification, whether it be monetarily or philosophically, with the people that they lead. And as soon as they do that, they're chayv misa, they're chayv to be killed, because they can't serve. You can't serve people that you can't identify with, that you don't feel part of, that you don't feel part of the group with. So those are the three different approaches that Rus is teaching us, not openly, but through the Midrashim and the Gemaras, as to what the flaw of Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion were. So just to summarize, there were three different approaches. One is Rashi. So Rashi is teaching us that Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, they got attached to their wealth in a way where they felt as if they deserved their wealth, as if the Ani deserves it being poor and the Usher deserves being wealthy, when in reality, wealth is really oftentimes out of man's control and it's really transient. It could leave you, a person who's poor can be wealthy in a moment's notice, and a person who's wealthy can be poor really quickly. But in either situation, the idea is that really wealth shouldn't be indicative or shouldn't be seen as an indicator of a person's greatness. But by Machlon and Chilion, they internalized the wealth. It became part of who they were, and to the point where they couldn't live amongst the poor people. They had to break their relationship to the poor people, their identification with the poor people. And because they were leaders and they were responsible for the so that's a problem. That's why they're Chayav Kliya. Then there's the Rambam and the Gemara. They want to say that as leaving Eretz Yisrael, and that's the idea of underestimating the dangers of foreign society, even with schus avos, even with the idea that you can fall back on your past forefathers being great, but that's not enough. You still have to understand and recognize the dangers of the foreign society and foreign culture. And the last idea is this Gemara. It's saying that Elimelech, Machlon, and Chilion, they, again, it's similar to Rashi, but it's saying that they failed to see themselves as part of the group, and they couldn't identify with the group as a whole, and that's why they left. And they didn't daven for the Jews. They couldn't see themselves as part of this group that deserved to be saved from the famine. Okay, so this last Gemara is about Boaz. It's really strange, bizarre Gemara. And if anybody has an approach, I have one possibility, but it's really bizarre. So it says Ifson Zeh Boaz. Look in source number 13. It's Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Aleph. Source number 13. Ifson Zeh Boaz. So Ifson, who was one of the Shoftim, was really Boaz. So my Kamash Balon, what does this teach us? Who cares? Ki idach de Rabba Bar Rav Huna. It's like Rabba Bar Rav Huna taught. De Amar Rabba Bar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, said in the name of Rav, Meav Esther and Mishtos Asa Boaz Levanov. So Boaz made 120 parties for his children, his son, Shenemar, Vahilo Shloshim Banim Ushloshim Banos. He had 30 boys and 30 girls. Shalach Hachutza, sorry, Shloshim Banos Shalach Hachutza. He sent 30, he had 30 sons and 30 daughters, and 30 daughters he sent away. Ushloshim Banos Hevi Levanov, and 30 daughter-in-laws he brought in from the outside to marry his children, Menachutz. The Yishbodes Yisrael Sheva Shanim. And he was the judge of the Jews for 7 years. For each one of his children, so he had 60 kids, he made two parties for each one, 120 parties. Echad beveis aviv, echad beveis chamev. So one party he made in the groom's father's house, and the other one in the groom's father-in-law. Uvekulon lo zimin es manoach. But through all these parties, he didn't want to invite, or he never invited Manoach. Manoach was the father of Shimshon. Why didn't he invite Manoach to his parties? Amar, could not akara b'may parali. So he says that Manoach is like a donkey. He's a sterile mule. And he's not going to repay me. Meaning that Manoach, until they had Shimshon, Manoach couldn't have any children. And it was a nace that Manoach had children. And Boaz's logic was that, why should I invite Manoach? He doesn't have any kids, and I'm never going to get invited to any of his parties. So why should I invite him to my party? So that was his logic. This was Boaz. So to Anah v'chulon mesu v'chayav. So it was taught that all of his children were killed. They all died in his lifetime. V'haynu da'amri inshi. And this is what people mean when they say, b'chayach di'alat shitin. In your lifetime, when you have 60, shitin lamalech. Why do you need 60? Ichbal v'olid chad. The Mashitin Zaris. You should just have one, and that one should be a good child and should be diligent, and you only need one. Basically, you don't need 60, you just need one. As long as that one is good, there's no, you know, you don't need the 60 kids. So that's the end of the Gemara. So it's a strange Gemara. Just to summarize, the Gemara says that Ibtson, one of the Shoftim, was really Boaz, and there's this in Shoftim it mentions the fact that Ibtson had many children. So it says in the Gemara that Boaz had 30 children, 30 boys and 30 girls, so 60 children, and he made all these parties, and he failed to invite Manoach, the father of Shimshon, because Manoach, he thought, wasn't going to have any children, and therefore he wouldn't get invited to Manoach's parties. So he didn't invite Manoach, and then at the end, all of his children die, and he ends up getting married to Rus, and he has that one child. The one child is Ovid, who ends up being the forefather of David. But he says that the Gemara ends up saying, why do you need 60 kids when you could just have one good kid? So what exactly is the point of this Gemara? It's a strange Gemara. Background on Boaz. But what's the purpose of this Gemara? It sounds pretty harsh that Boaz treated Manoach this way. So what does this teach us? If you look in the Rashbam, he just explains two things. One is, well, we don't have to do all of them, but he says, Kederaba barafuna, deka'amar shekol banav shel Ibtson mesu b'chayev. So Rabbi Baruch Huna says all the children of Ibtson were killed or died in his lifetime. It says that Boaz married Rus. At the time that he married Rus, he had his children were still alive. We learn out if you get married in your youth, you should also get married when you get older. The Gemara says that Boaz's wife died when Rus came to town. So it says, Kemosha Asa Ibtson, Dahainu Boaz got me married. Lefisha Haya Yari Shamayim, Yamusu Banav Me'ishto Rishona, Bechaya V'lo Yelo Zachar. So it says that he was nervous, I guess, and he figured that it was possible that his children would die and he wouldn't have any sons. And it says, Yuchsiva Bukir Zara Zarechu V'l Erefal Tanach Yadecha. This is the pasuk that teaches you that there's a mitzvah derabanan. Once you fulfill your mitzvah deraisa of having a boy and a girl, you're still chayav to have children, midarabanan. Because it says that Babukir Zaras Arecha, in the morning you sow your seeds, Vela Erev Al Tanach Yedecha, don't give up in the evening, meaning even when you get old, you should have more kids. The Mahacha Nami Darshinan Le, Uktam Bafarish Kura Taimo, and the Pasuk says, why? You don't know which child is going to be good or not, so you should keep having children, as many children as you possibly can. Ava Ilo Omerlon Ibtson Zaboaz, Havarmina Ibtson Lo Nasa Isha Cheres, Uboaz Nami Olam Lohayu Lo Isha Obanam Achlakach Ros. If you didn't have this, you would have just thought that Ibtson was separate from Boaz, and Boaz's first wife was Rus. So this is what the Gemara is teaching us, that they're the same person. So what exactly is it teaching us? So the idea, I think the Gemara is saying, this is what the last point in the shir, is trying to teach us about Boaz's personality. That really, the concept is, and a flaw that Boaz had, obviously it was a flaw because all of his children were killed, and it says that he treated Manoach in this way. So what's the concept? The concept is that a lot of times people, I think this is a common theme, that people get pleasure and they have a sense of pride from the amount of kids that they have. And it's you almost see your kids as an extension of you, as an extension of your success. And you show off the amount of your, the amount of kids. A lot of times is to a person is a person gets a sense of pride from how many kids they have, and it's almost like the kids are possessions. They're like gold, and the more gold you have, the better it is. And people do feel proud of their children. It's natural to feel proud of their children, but Boaz, it sounds like the idea was that this concept of being proud of the numbers, of seeing his children as a sign, and the amount of children and the quantity as a sign of his success, it sounds like was prevalent in Boaz's mind, to the point where he doesn't invite Manoach, meaning he sees himself, or this success, as integral, and it almost raises him above Manoach. This is not a literal Gemara, but it's saying that Boaz, it doesn't mean that literally he didn't invite Manoach, but it means that Boaz saw this idea of success tied to the quantity of his children and the amount of children that he had. He saw it as part of his success, and he saw it made him almost better on a higher level. But the idea was that the concept is that when a person takes pride in his children, you should it's normal to feel proud of your kids, but you should focus the pride on things that are real, on true values. So if your child is diligent, if your child demonstrates certain qualities that you value, that's what you should take pride in. Not in the idea of having many children. Manoach couldn't have any children until Shimshon, and look, Boaz had a lot of children. But the concept of taking pride in the quantity of children is a misidentification of a mistake in terms of how you relate to your kids. And it's normal to feel proud of your kids, but if you're going to feel proud and you're going to see yourself and your kids or value what your kids are providing for you, you should value the elements that are really true and really, really, really important, which are diligence, Torah learning, personality traits. So those are things that you should be proud of, not the quantity, not the amount of kids that you have. But it sounds like from all the parties, the 120 parties, and the idea that he had so many kids, it sounds like Boaz put too much emphasis on his children and the quantity of his children being a sign of his success. But it also teaches you the perfection of Boaz, that, and perhaps this is what led Boaz to being this leader and the father of this whole lineage of David, which is that after he experienced this, it changed him. It sounds like it changed him. And when he married Rus later on, it would be natural for a person to be resistant. Rashbam says that they were still alive when he got married to Rus. But if they were being killed or they died, it would be natural for a person to give up and to not have more children. But it sounds like this experience changed Boaz, and it affected his ability to relate to his children in a different way. And only because of that was he did he become the forefather of this great lineage of David and all these generations that came after him. Because he was able to work on this flaw and change his attitude and really value these qualities in his children, was he able to change. So I think that's what the Gemara is teaching us about the history of Boaz. All right, so let me just go through the main points of the shir. So the main points of the shir are that really the main idea was Elimelech, the fall of Elimelech and Machlon and Chilion, and there's three different approaches. One approach is Rashi, wealth, the effect of wealth on your personality. The second approach is the Rambam, leaving Eretz Yisrael. And the third approach is the idea of not davening for others, not identifying, associating yourself with a group. And then the last concept is this concept of Boaz, that Boaz really had the wrong idea of how to relate to his children. He looked at the quantity of his children, it sounds like as the sign of his success, and he overemphasized that. And instead of valuing the true qualities of a child and feeling proud of the true qualities, he was attached to this, looking at his children almost as possessions. They were almost like gold to him. And that was an improper approach. And you see that he had to experience this. It sounds like the Gemara is teaching us, whether it's literal or not, it sounds like Boaz experienced this whole story here in order to change him, in order to affect the way that he parented Oved, his son. Okay, so that's the end of the shir. All right, so everybody have a good Chag Sameach, good Shavuos. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.